When you're looking at the history of a country, it's pretty common to find a singular, particular person who is looked at as the main founding figure of that country. Ancient Rome had Romulus, Haiti has Toussaint Louverture, and the United States has George Washington. But when it comes to founding nations, most people only seem to have one in them. Simón Bolívar was not most people. Often referred to as El Libertador, or the Liberator, Bolívar had a hand in the creation of not one, but five different countries. He spent decades leading the fight for South American independence from Spanish colonial rule. Then, he was the first president of Gran Colombia, a union of independent South American nations, as well as serving as president of three other countries, some of them at the same time. But leading and fighting in revolutions is a dangerous business, and in doing so, Bolívar had made an enemy of one of the most powerful empires in human history. For a time, the Spanish were able to pursue the Liberator wherever he went, and they came very close to assassinating him before his dream of South American independence was realized. This is Foiled. Episode 3, A Knife in the Dark. Simón Bolívar was born into an age of revolution. Less than 2 months after his birth, the Treaty of Paris was signed, ending the American Revolutionary War. Then both the French and Haitian revolutions broke out before he was 10 years old. Bolívar was born on July 24, 1783, in Caracas, which was the capital of a subdivision of the Spanish Empire called Venezuela. The Bolívar family had been there nearly from the beginning of Spanish occupation. The first Simón de Bolívar had come to the Americas from Spain in 1589. By the time our Simón was born, the Bolívar family had fully established themselves as an influential part of local society. They owned plantations, mines, and cattle ranches, along with enslaved labor to run all of these operations. Bolívar's childhood was privileged, but unstable. His father died of tuberculosis when he was 2, and his mother died when he was 8. Simón's 2 uncles were named as his guardians, but one of them lived in Spain, and the other only wanted his nephew's inheritance. So the boy was mostly raised by an enslaved woman named Hippolyta, who he thought of throughout his life as both his mother and his father figure. He got a prestigious education to go with his prestigious background, and through his teachers he was introduced to the teachings and ideals of the Enlightenment. Like most children of the wealthy elite in colonial South America, Bolívar visited Europe a few times throughout his young adult life. There he met Maria Teresa Rodríguez del Toro y Eliza, and married her in Madrid in 1802. The couple moved to Caracas, but they were only married for 8 months when Maria contracted yellow fever and died. Bolívar was completely devastated, and he later said that this was the reason he entered the political world, to distract himself from his wife's untimely death. And what a time did he pick to enter politics. In the last few decades of the 1700s, the Spanish monarchy began to insert itself more and more into life in the colonies, while at the same time cutting down on the involvement of its American subjects in the imperial system. This aggravated a populace that had for a long time been generally left to their own devices. While visiting Rome in 1805, Bolívar dramatically stood at the top of one of the city's 7 hills, and vowed that he would liberate his homeland from Spanish rule. He returned to Venezuela in 1807, and then the next year the spark for independence came. In 1808, the French Emperor Napoleon invaded Spain, overthrew the Bourbon monarchy, and put his brother, Joseph Bonaparte, on the throne. What little was left of a real Spanish government organized into a junta, or council, in resistance to the French occupation. The junta, apart from trying to kick the French out, also realized they would need to reorganize the empire if they wanted to keep it. They granted representation to their American subjects, but stopped short of equal representation and free trade. This was a mistake. As all this news began trickling across the Atlantic, groups of fed-up colonial subjects began to form juntas of their own. And then, one by one, different pieces of the empire began to break off and declare independence. This took place in the span of over a decade, and even though Bolívar would eventually make good on his vow, it would be a long and difficult road ahead. He served the military of the First Republic of Venezuela, which was declared independent in 1811. But then in 1812, the Royalists recaptured the colony and Bolívar went into exile. He came back and declared the Second Republic of Venezuela in 1813, but by 1814, Napoleon had been kicked out of Spain, and the crown was able to send forces to capture Venezuela again. Bolivar went into a second exile, which is where most people probably would have given up. But Simon Bolivar was not most people. He went into exile in Kingston in the British colony of Jamaica, already actively planning his return and invasion of Venezuela. But he did not go into exile unfollowed, and he almost never got the chance to return home. This story so far paints a picture of Spain as a great power in decline. While the empire was undoubtedly slipping through their fingers, the Spanish still had the resources to conduct military operations, as well as espionage and apparently assassination. They seem to have done a pretty decent job of covering their tracks, because it's hard to pin down the mastermind of the impending plot on Bolivar's life. The most likely suspects are generals of the Spanish military, especially Pablo Murillo and Miguel de la Torre. Whoever was at the head of the plot, they were not in Jamaica. Instead, they sent Spanish agents to the island. But these agents weren't going to be doing the killing themselves, likely realizing they wouldn't be able to get close enough to Bolivar. Instead, they approached someone who could, a man named Pio. Pio was someone who could get close enough to Bolivar to kill him while also having motivation to do so. He was enslaved by Bolivar. For someone who would one day earn the nickname the Liberator, Bolivar had an ironically neutral view of slavery throughout the early part of his life. This was also true of many of the revolutionary leaders Bolivar fought alongside. Even though he would eventually change his stance, at this point he still owned multiple slaves. The Spanish agents approached Pio and offered him 2,000 pesos to assassinate Simon Bolivar. Pio accepted. Bolivar's stay in Jamaica had other, more mundane problems besides imperial agents actively plotting his murder. With no personal wealth to speak of in Jamaica, Bolivar relied on loans in order to pay for a place to stay. The landlady of the first apartment he stayed at charged Bolivar a bunch of extra fees which he couldn't afford, so he decided to find another place to stay. In the meantime, he was staying at the home of José Antonio Páez, an officer who served under Bolivar throughout the Wars for Independence. Bolivar had his own room in the house and a hammock to sleep in. At around 10 p.m. on the night of December 10th, 1815, Pio crept into Bolivar's room, knife in hand. He felt around in the dark for the figure of Bolivar lying in the hammock, and when he found what he was looking for, he started stabbing. Pio plunged the knife into his victim's neck, and a struggle ensued. The struggle, and the screams, only ended when Pio stabbed again, this time in the side. His victim was dead. But Simon Bolivar did not die that night. In fact, Bolivar wasn't there at all. Some accounts say that he'd been staying with a local woman, while others say a friend of his had given him some money for another place to stay. So who was in his bedroom, and who was in his hammock? Felix Amestoy was once a soldier in Bolivar's personal guard, and afterwards continued to fight alongside him. Amestoy had come to Bolivar's room to visit with his old friend. When he found it empty, he decided to wait for Bolivar in his hammock and fell asleep. During his days in the honor guard, it was Amestoy's job to lay down his own life for Bolivar's if needed. But he couldn't have known when he dozed off in that hammock that he would be doing exactly that. Bolivar lived, while Amestoy died. Pio was quickly apprehended and put on trial. He admitted to the murder of Felix Amestoy and to the attempted murder of Simon Bolivar. On trial, he said that the Spanish agents had paid him and then gotten him drunk the night of the attack. Pio did not reveal the identities of these agents. Having pled guilty, he was found guilty. Pio was executed, and his head was mounted on a pole and put on display in Kingston. The agents who hired him, and whoever was ultimately behind the plot, got away alive. Simon Bolivar would live to see another day, and quite a few more after that. But I'm not going to tell you what he got up to after 1815, yet. This is actually part one of two episodes on Simon Bolivar. This is partly because he lived a very interesting life, but it's mainly because this wasn't the last assassination attempt he would survive. What I can say for sure now, though, is that the history of South America, and the history of the world, would have been very different if Bolivar had been killed that night. While South American independence was probably going to happen no matter what at this point, the modern map of the continent has a lot to do with the influence of Simón Bolívar. Next week, we'll talk all about that, and we'll also talk about another time that the Liberator was almost murdered in his sleep.